Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome your sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day intensive workshop for men seeking to overcome sexually addictive behaviors. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery. Your experts have over 35 years of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next workshop coming up March 27th through the 29th in Pennsylvania. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you with us. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with Stephen. Stephen, how are you today?
I am blessed. Thank you, sir, for asking.
Excellent. Well, I want to let you know that we have three-day workshops for men that occur throughout the year in various locations. They're called Gateway to Freedom. And we have seen hundreds of men over the years that have come through this and really just been such a catalyst for their recovery. These are workshops for men who are struggling with pornography or other forms of sexually addictive type behaviors, and they're just tired. They're needing help. A lot of times they're in crisis. They're just feeling either stuck or they just need a change. And so these workshops are a powerful catalyst for helping to dig into the root issues beyond the behavior, but really get into the root issues and formulate plans for guys to be able to embark on a whole new direction in their lives. If you'd like to learn more about Gateway to Freedom and when the next workshops are coming up, simply go to gatewaymen.com. That's gatewaymen.com, or call us toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. All right, so Stephen, we are going to talk about heart, and maybe
we're gonna talk about the heart.
Yeah,
that sounds like a girl topic. You know, having a heart, a tender, gentle, loving heart.
Hey, you're the one that brought the notes here, so
am I giving you a hard time? So yeah. Okay, go on with your introduction or say something.
No, I was just saying
your thought. I interrupted.
I was going to say, okay, I looked at this. So listeners, Stephen brings this page in, and I want you to know how Stephen works, because a lot of times he brings just these scribblings that this whole page is just scribbled on with like arrows and circles and somehow I'm supposed to make sense out of this. So this is why I always just pass it off to you.
Oh, that's too good.
So that you can tell us what I'm looking at.
So the title is, I want a whole healed heart. Have you noticed a lot of people have like damaged hearts?
Oh yeah.
Which is really emotions, what we're talking about. But I want to be whole. but I don't feel whole. But I'm trying to be whole, but I carry some stuff that weighs me down. What are your thoughts? I'm just going to ask you to comment along the way. What kind of thoughts are you having right now?
Well, I'm thinking in terms of who we serve in our ministry. And so that's the primary population that we're seeing is men who have developed some sort of an addiction to pornography or some other sexual behavior. And then their wives who are wounded by that.
Have wounded hearts too,
now,
right?
Here's the thing I've noticed. This is what I've noticed. It is a rare thing. In fact, I can't even think off the top of my head of anybody in particular. It is very unusual for that man to not have had woundedness long
himself.
Ago in his history.
Yeah.
It is also unheard of that that woman, that wife, did not also have woundedness long ago in her history. So here's what you have. You have this situation in terms of the pornography addiction or sexual addiction that sort of blows the lid off of what's been held inside. Mm. And unfortunately, what a lot of couples then do is they look at it as, well, this is the woundedness we need to deal with.
The behavior, the acting out.
When in reality, it's like, oh my goodness, there's been a wounded, broken heart there for many, many years.
Yes.
And so I don't think any of us get through childhood unscathed. I think all of us are, all of us carry into adulthood a wounded, broken heart. Now, I don't mean this to sound like a downer and
when
depressing.
When did you
anything.
Get smart? You sound wise and smart. You're, keep rolling there.
But I think it's a reality.
Yeah.
And I think too often I'm going to kind of go on a little sidebar here for parents. I think too often as parents, we get in a state of anxiety about, you know, we've got to make sure that our kids get through childhood unscathed and that they reach adulthood and they've got this completely whole heart. There's nothing that's ever touched it, nothing that's ever, you know, damaged it. And it's like, you know what? Let's calm down. Let's take
it's
a dose
happen.
Of reality.
We're not in control of the universe.
We're not out to harm our children, but we live in a world of harm. And so there are going to be things that harm our kids. And
is this going to be a depressing talk?
No, this is the good news. All your scribblings point to a good result down here.
That's good. Because I had made a little time limit. I said we start with sort of whole, innocent hearts. And then life happens, and we end up with damaged, hurting, broken hearts. But the good news is they can be restored, right? And so I'm thinking to myself, on one of my other lines I have drawn, addiction, and I'm going to ask you a minute to give me some words about addiction, but addiction leads to brokenness, and then you have a new little standard you're putting out there. I don't know what you're calling your new words, but they're heal, grow, and serve. And so would you call those three your sort of...
It's kind of our tagline.
A tagline, thank you. So you start with this addiction, and then you named your ministry. Go ahead. Just go ahead and be broken, because we can start the healing process with a broken mentality. But if you're in a hiding mentality or a no problem mentality or we got it all together or denial mentality or fantasy mentality, well, you're going to have to get worse before you can be helped because you got to own brokenness. So would you say five or six words when I say sexual addiction? What words come to your mind?
Oh, my goodness. Some of the words that come to mind, there's fear, shame, loneliness. I mean, I think of a lot of times I get a picture of a person that is confused. To me, the big deal is the idea of just being covered in falsehoods about their worth, their self.
Yes.
I just see a kind of a darkness, a brokenness.
That's great. And
heavy weight.
Yeah. And you think about what kind of heart does that person have? Because all those words apply to their being, but also to their heart. They're so tired. They're so trapped. They're so stuck. They can't get out of this thing they thought was going to set them free.
And if you think about the words that first popped into my head, those were all emotional words. Fear.
Yes.
Shame.
Lonely.
Lonely.
Covered.
I mean, you know, so if you think about it, we can look at the behavior and we can really pick apart the behaviors of a sexual addiction. And here's what this person is doing and how they're compulsive about it.
Yes.
But if you think about when somebody's asked to describe what that person is like, it's hard to avoid emotional language. Because you go, well, how are they living their lives? They're lonely. They're depressed. Mm-hmm. They're filled with shame. They're afraid. I mean, you can't not describe that person in emotional terms when you look at their lives, because behavior oftentimes is just an outward symptom or an outward symbol of what's actually going on internally, emotionally. And that's why we're talking about the heart here, because that's what really matters.
Yeah, and those are all labels that apply to the emotions of the heart, right? Mm-hmm. And how well do you think that life is lived with that kind of inner core?
Oh, it's just, you know? This is why 80% of those who develop a sexual addiction can be diagnosed clinically depressed. Mm. I mean, think about it. It's a slow downward spiral into hopelessness and despair and feeling trapped and in bondage.
So then when you turn and face that brokenness, it's the beginning of the healing process, right? Mm-hmm. You have to admit brokenness. And a lot of these guys, I mean, they're like terrorized when they come to the three-day retreat that we do. I mean, they are scared.
Yeah, it's amazing how oftentimes on Friday when guys arrive, it's very quiet. Guys aren't talking to each other.
They're staying inside.
They're very apprehensive about what's about to happen.
But they know there's such heaviness in their life. There's such brokenness that they have to get help. So they overcome this by pushing through. And I mean, some of them say, I drove back and forth in front of the entrance. Mm-hmm. I almost turned around and went home. Or, you know, they say all these kind of, but I came in, you know, and I was welcomed, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
and I was going to say about our kind of our tagline, heal, grow, serve, that just helps give an overview to folks on what is the pathway or sort of the process that a person goes through. And that first point is, listen, you come to us broken. And not even just us. You come to the process. You come to the process of recovery or what we would call, I mean, you could even call it a process of redemption, of discipleship, whatever you want to call it. But there is this process that you're coming to as you are. And sometimes the reason that it takes people with an addiction so long to get into this process of recovery is because they think they got to do like all this pre-work, you know, before I can enter this process.
You mean they got to be good, practice,
do
little good.
I got to clean myself up a little bit. I got to look a little bit. I need to look more presentable when I come into this process. Well, there's a reason why the first part of this process is healing. Heal.
Yes.
You've got to come the absolute mess that you are.
Yes.
With all of your brokenness in your heart.
But you have to come to be broken. Right. I love that ministry, you know. I am broken, and I own that first, and I'm crying out, and put me on your three-step process. Help me with some healing, and then teach me that I can work a process of growing to a better place, and then I can share that with service. So let's go back to defining the wounded heart, because what we're trying to do is realize that a wounded heart leads to a false identity. And a healed heart has a true identity about it. So we're going to go back to this wounded heart. And so where does a wounded heart come from? And so, you know, there's several ways, right? Sometimes, and we don't blame here, okay? None of this is about blame. We're going to talk about parents, but this isn't about blame. I'm an imperfect parent. You're an imperfect. Every parent's imperfect. But sometimes a child will pick up a wound from their father or their mother. And so if mother had such high expectations and you failed and she told you, well, that was close but not good enough, and try harder, you can do better. Or if your father just screamed and scared everybody and you ran to your room, if he drank or if he was gone, you know, if your mother was angry or your mother was depressed or your mother was gone or your mother was at work all the time or your father, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People living life the best they can, kids pick up stuff off of that.
And I think that's that's probably the primary relationships that can bring about maybe some of the first wounds or maybe some of the deepest wounds that we feel in childhood. Because, listen, we're wired as children to need those primary relationships of father and mother. And so if something is out of whack in that relationship, guess what? The result is something's missing for that child.
But you said something very profound. You said up close, connected. See, if we're close to our parents, there's probably going to be less shame, right? Because they're going to be talking to us and we're going to hear life. We're going to hear them struggling and we're struggling. And if we can keep the union close and safe, that kid's going to have less shame. But if the parent says, get away from me, you know, if the kid retreats into their room, into their own mind.
And keep in mind, we're really bringing this back again and again to the emotional connection here. Because some people, you know, listen, we've heard from plenty of men who their fathers falsely assumed that they were really close with their sons because they were simply physically present in the home. But they were never...
I came home every night, what else?
Yeah, they were never emotionally connected to their son. Yeah. So they're like, I bring home the bacon, I pay the bills, you know, I'm here every night. And it's like, well, your body's here.
But the kid cries himself to sleep.
But you're not present with your family.
Yes.
So we need to make sure we understand that we're talking about the emotional connection. So that's where a lot of these wounds come from moms and dads.
But and also I would open it up because other relatives, grandparents and uncles, and even friends can be brutal as you're growing up. If you're tortured on the bus, I wouldn't call them friends, but if, you know, classmates torture you every day on the bus, but your parents love you and it's healthy, but you're torn, you understand, you start to pick up some goofy stuff.
And I was going to say too, because you'd written down here kind of father wound, mother wound, things like that, but I think there's other kinds of abuses that we can face. There's other kinds of traumas that can happen in a kid's life. I mean, you're even talking, you know, I would label the bullying on the bus, I would label that under trauma.
Yeah.
That's a traumatic thing for a child to go through. And there are probably a lot of things that kids have experienced in life that would adequately be described as trauma. And somebody along the way told them to blow it off, that it wasn't any big deal, that get over it, those kind of things. And it's like, but man, that had a significant impact on their lives. You can't just say, blow it off, no big deal. Mm. I'll give an example from my own life that was an incredibly traumatic experience for me on two levels that I don't know if it never felt to me like it got adequately dealt with. And it was one of those things that I just kind of had to stuff. When I was in junior high, I asked to go to the bathroom to get a hall pass. And so I went, and this was in an old... I'm going to date myself, but this was an old junior high, old building where the bathrooms were actually outside from the main building. It wasn't an outhouse, but it was a different building.
Yeah.
That I had to go. So I go out to this bathroom. I open the door, and there are two special ed boys in there being sexual with one another. And I close the door, and then I go back to the room.
Oh, my goodness.
And I must have been white as a sheet because the teacher said, what's going on? She took me to the principal's office. Then I had to sit in a principal's office alone with a female principal to tell her, as she wanted me to describe in detail what I had seen. So I'm traumatized both with what I saw, and then I'm traumatized to have to say this to an adult. I mean, it was one of the most fearful experiences of my young life. And then I don't even remember what happened at home. It was one of those things that I just kind of, I think just emotionally and psychologically, I just sort of repressed it. It was like, I don't want to go there. But that stuck with me for a long time, the idea of what do I do with this? And so those kind of things, those are wounds.
Yeah.
They weren't caused by a parent, but they were still wounds.
As you get healthier, all that stuff, your brain can handle it, and it comes back, right? And then you can rethink it and put it in better perspective. But as a kid, what did I just see? And do I even believe what you know what I mean? There's such fear and doubt in that moment.
And I want listeners to hear this too, because sometimes what happens in our child mind when we're facing wounds like that is we start spinning these thoughts that sort of drag us under the bus. For instance, for a long time after that, I thought, well, was that somehow my fault? Like, should I have, right. were there signs that I should have seen before I ever even got to that? And should I have, I mean, could I have maybe masked my emotion better when I got back in class so that the teacher didn't take me to the, I started shaming me.
Wow.
For something that I had, it was not my fault.
But and that happens a lot.
It does.
A child will blame themselves.
And that's what I want our listeners to hear is that you may have wounds that are still with you today. And over the years, you've spun thoughts that have made you the one who is at fault when you were the victim. And we want you to start feeling a sense of relief. You can be set free from that. It was not your fault what got dumped into your life when you were a kid. That was somebody else's brokenness.
You know, you think about your parents sent you to school today to have a regular day. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very powerful what you're saying. Because that's what happens on the journey of life. Other people's stuff sort of pops up in the middle of you. You're having to, I'm going to the bathroom, have a regular day. Not anymore, you're not forever. There's this. So anyway, but it was interesting what you said. What did I do wrong? Because that's shame, right? Mm-hmm. So we're in environments, and then we often hear people say shameful things. And then we repeat shameful things. Mm-hmm. And then we come up with a false identity that really that's who we are. We messed up. We're not good enough. We're not strong enough. We didn't do it well enough. We didn't do it right. And we were told that. And then we repeat that. And then we believe, you know, we're really different. We hear this a lot. I didn't know there was anybody else like me. Mm-hmm. I thought I was the only one. Right? That was a freak. That was odd. That was this different. Mm-hmm. And so that's such a heavy load to carry, a false identity.
And I want our listeners to understand, I think when Stephen's saying false identity, think about it as slapping a label on your life that is not true. So in other words, you slap a label on your life that says, you know, you are the wimp because all those kids on the bus told you you're a wimp.
Yes.
You know, you are a pervert. Because you know what? You saw some things and did some things that weren't healthy. So just think about it. Is what Stephen's saying is this shame plants seeds, and then we start repeating those shame lies to where eventually we've slapped labels on ourselves
and
that are not
true.
And
we see all those labels, and we make our identity off all those labels.
And I will even go so far as to say that some people, even in recovery environments, keep those labels on. And what I mean is I'm totally opposed to the idea of standing up in a room and saying, I am an addict. That is a label that is a false identity on me.
That's good. What are you then?
I'm a child of God.
Amen.
And you know what?
Made in his image.
Right. And so when I talk about my history, I say, I had an addiction. I was addicted. I'm not opposed to the idea of addiction. Absolutely. I was totally addicted. But I refuse now to label myself with a false identity of addict, meaning that defines me. It's the only way I can think. It's
all
the only
that
way
shame,
I behave.
All that failure, right? All that regret and remorse and wasted time and wasted money and wasted energy and wasted youth. You could put a whole wall of all this waste, loss, grief, sadness, and you could look at that and say, that's who I am. Or you could look at the cross of Christ and say, he wants me. He thinks I'm enough.
And so here's what I would actually encourage listeners to do. I mean, even right now, especially if you're listening to this as a podcast, I would encourage you to pause the podcast right here. I would encourage you to go get a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil. And I would ask you to just calm yourself down, quiet yourself down, and ask yourself, what labels have you slapped on yourself? Or what labels have other people slapped on you? Out of this shame idea, what are the things that you have borne as labels on your being that do not speak truth over who you are? And just list those things out.
And when you list them, you realize those are the signs on your wall, right? Because we get false identity also by looking around and saying, look, they have it together. Mm. Oh, look how pretty they look. Oh, look how nice things they have. Oh, look how smart they have.
Because then we say, I don't measure up to that.
That's right.
I can't equal that.
And then you know, living is difficult, and we do fail. And sometimes we're late, we're behind, we didn't do it perfect, there wasn't enough time. Just life says you fell short. Mm-hmm. And other people will say, well, you fell short. And we will say to ourselves, we fell short. And it's that whole dialogue that is repeated and then believed as our true identity. We're really not enough. Mm-hmm. You're just not enough. If you could be more, I wish you were more.
So make your list, and then by the end of this podcast, we're going to share with you what you need to do with that list.
Good. So I'm going to talk about true identity, mm-hmm. and you're going to tell them what they're going to do with the list. So then, if you want a whole heart that's not wounded and damaged, then you have to, in essence, give back to those that offended you the shame lies. And if your father spoke lies, you say, I'm giving it back to you, Father. If your mother spoke lies, I'm giving it back. If something happened and you picked up shame, you say, I'm releasing myself from the shame. I want truth, but I've held it, so I must release it, right? And once you release it, then you must embrace truth, or you're going to go back to the lie. So what is it that you have discovered and I have discovered and the Bible says about us and our Father wants us to know? What is our true identity then?
There's one word that always comes to my mind that actually just fills my spirit with joy. And the word is, it's the word that God himself speaks over us. He says, you are my beloved. Wow. You're my beloved.
Yes.
And that one word to me has always captured the essence of who I really am. That's the label I wear.
You are beloved of your Father, deeply loved of your Father. Those words from the Bible, from Jonathan's mouth, spoken by his Spirit, which is the Father's Spirit in him, to your Spirit. You are the beloved one of God.
Mm-hmm. What would you say?
You know, when you were starting to say, I'm going to say mine, I started to write mine down. Look what I wrote down.
You are my beloved.
You are my beloved. I wrote the same thing that you were getting ready to say. I said, I don't want to forget. This is mine. Because that's what he said to Jesus. Mm-hmm. This is my beloved son. This is my son. This is my boy.
And you know what's cool? And I like how he actually ends that phrase. He says, in whom I am well pleased.
Oh, that's good.
You know, I want listeners to hear this because so many times when you've had things spoken over you that are filled with shame, and you've had things spoken into your life that are filled with shame that you repeat, guess what? You can falsely assume that God could not look at your life and say, in him, I'm well pleased. In her, I'm well pleased. Because we base everything on our actions. And we think, if I've failed, if I haven't measured up, if I've done something sinful, if I'm, you know, fill in the blank with whatever your brokenness, however your brokenness is manifested, we falsely assume there's no way God could have affection toward me, that he could be well pleased in me, that just my being present, being just my existence could bring a smile to his face. Well, I'm here to tell you, it does. Your existence, the fact that you are,
yes,
your Father in heaven smiles on you. He says, you're my beloved.
I'm his boy. I'm his boy. And if you're female, you're his girl. Mm-hmm. You're his. It's like, I want to belong somewhere. I need to belong somewhere. I need to know my true identity. And it has to be spoken over the keeper and source of all truth. You know, who am I? In Christ, I am forgiven. I'm loved. I'm celebrated. I'm cherished. And I'm called his beloved.
Well, we have to wrap up here, but I want to tell you what you need to do with your list. If you've written out your list of all the labels that have been slapped on your life because of shame, what I want you to do with that list is I want you to crumple them up into a ball. And I want you to release them into somewhere where you can actually set them on fire. I want you to make an offering. I want you to sacrifice those things before the Father of Heaven who says, you know what? In all of those things that you've been labeled, you're my beloved. I look at you and I see a precious child of mine in whom I'm well pleased. And just let that aroma go to God, saying, I'm releasing this. This is no longer who I am. I will not be called by these things. I will not let this shame drape over me. We are glad you've been with us, and we look forward to having you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.